And I'm so thrilled that with a joyous heart, I could say from last week, those that were here, that I shared and I'm sharing a two-part message. And so that which was prepared has been under much prayer and study way before this weekend, way before this past week. And I believe it's timing. God's timing is perfect. Last week I shared with you that we believe that it's really worth the cost. It's worth the cost of running a rescue in people's lives. It's worth the cost when you're rescuing somebody that they even hurt you when you're trying to rescue them or bring them to see the bigger picture in life, more than a year, more than themselves, gifts or callings or talents, but for the full picture. We believe it's worth it to do the things that we do for those that have never heard and those that have heard and taken things lightly in the scriptures. We believe it's worth the cost to raise up a legacy. We believe it's worth the cost to continue to send missionaries and build what we're building now, that God is building, that we're helping him, and yet we're feeling the privilege and the pressure of it. I want us to go through Matthew chapter 13, 44 through 50. And if you would, you should be there by now, Matthew chapter 13, well, close to it, I just mentioned it, verse 44 through 50. The kingdom of heaven. Let me just say this. It's like anything we don't know. It's amazing. We get little tidbits of it this side of heaven. But it's like something. It's like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding the one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, men drew it ashore, sat down, sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you send no man or woman to hell. We thank you, Lord, that we all could give testimony when we weren't even looking for you, when we didn't even believe, when we could care less. You still sent your son to die for us 2 millennia ago, and someone somehow ran screen for us, showed love, showed your presence, and we were captured by your love and salvation. And Father, I thank you that you're faithful. And Father, I thank you that you're able to see the pearl in everyone's life. Father, allow us to be able to see the pearl of great price, and allow us to be able to literally have a community dragnet. A community dragnet, Lord, of all the lost people, those that have wandered off like our cat, and those that have wandered off as sheep. We just ask you now, in the name of Jesus, that you've made a place in this county that may not be for everybody, but it seeks everybody to strengthen people how to not only survive, but prosper in the days, the troubled days and years to come. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's places for take notes in front of you so you could continue to go forward with me. And again, this message was built 2 weeks ago, and through much prayer, it was just a wonderful time of revelation. I want you to capture today. I want you to understand that everything that God has in store for you is for you. But it's going to stretch you. And everything that you cherish in your life, God's going to really test you on it to see if it's really him or yours. Because if it's yours, no matter, even if it was from him at one time and you value that thing above what he wants to do in your life and how he wants to purify that thing, it's going to stretch you. The kingdom of God is like something. We covered that last week. It's like something so incredible, but it's beneath the surface. Most people look for the surface things, and they find themselves disappointed. And when you become a surface believer, you could find yourself disappointed like you were in the world, because you're looking for that which is comfortable for you, or that which is easy to find. I share with you before, the word easy is only in the scripture four times. Five times if you like the NIV version. So we covered the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure represents peace, love, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, a sound mind. It represents things that are valuable in this life, and more importantly, the life to come. It represents the manifestation of the presence of God when we come together here and we get to throw off the dirty clothes of this past week, or when we hear from God something that He's promising us. It represents and it places those that believe in a sacred place and a high place. It gives us a bird's eye view compared to the balance of humanity. Not because God favors us, but He favors those who come to Him. And the scripture says He seats us in heavenly places and high places, high above all principalities and powers. All the lesser gods, all the religions of men and the philosophers of the age and the demons and the darkness and even those that disguise Himself as light that are in darkness. God allows us to see as we mature and recognize that there's hidden treasure for those that dare to look. And then we covered last week that pearl. That pearl of great price, hidden in the sea of humanity. You know, it's something that is so profound and yet so obvious. And we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to find that pearl. And I knew it would happen yesterday. I got back from the seminar I was at earlier than my wife. And my seminar, I was responsible to preach on militant hope. We had about 2,500 people in Lakeland, Christian education ministry, and the Apex Friday night in such an incredible message, and most of our people, to my pleasure, since the church made the investment, were there. And the word of the Lord was so profound and so relevant for every age group and every person. There was hidden treasure available. There was a pearl great price, if you would, that we do to lay hold of something that's greater than us. And this pearl we covered last week is hidden also. It's hidden. So the difference is that God allows you to know, being His child, which field has the pearl great price. I like to look at that in a natural way, in a tangible way. The youth center, our West Campus, is a nice small pearl great price. I like to know and that this place here is an incredible pearl of great price. And but you know, beyond those things in the spiritual realm, every person that you ever come in contact with is also to God a pearl of great price. God's promises are pearls of great price. Peace, love, joy in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, all these things are pearls of great price. And we have to decide, is it worthwhile for me to make the great exchange to lay hold of them and enjoy them? And we covered that last week. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Is everything that's promised by God worth the cost? And I say, it is. It is. Ephesians 3:20-21 states this: Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than that we could ever ask or think, according to his power works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Listen, the pearl, and this is where we ended last week, the pearl of great price, the pearl belongs to those who are willing to pay the cost. As my wife said, you know, the word of God is a pearl of great price. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So it is important that we come on Sunday morning. It is important that we come on Wednesday night and we learn principles for abundant life. You hear the word of God being taught and preached, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're able to mature in that level what you hear. But it's not until we study the word of God and claim the word of God, listen, eat the word of God, In 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study and show yourself approved unto God, as a workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The second chapter or the third chapter goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, even from an unborn child, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is God breath. It's given by inspiration for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Again, so we could not be ashamed. In our worship, so it's balanced. In our work, so it's about Him and not us. In our service, and then also in the keen ability to see what the world can't see in that hidden field and fetch that pearl of grace price. But again, the pearl belongs to those that are willing to pay the cost. And then I was looking for a video clip of that famous series with Detective Friday of Dragnet. How many ever saw Dragnet? How many could hum that little phrase? Dun, 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 remember? I mean, it was Friday. It's Detective Friday from, I think, from Los Angeles, right? And it was called Dragnet. And I touched base with some of our, we have a lot of police officers in this church. There's some in the service now, there will be some in the next service, and the next service, both active and retired. And I was asking some of them over the past week, I said, remember Dragnet? I go, tell me a little bit about Dragnet. And they share, well, you know, Dragnet operation, you take the information you have, and you see, you know in the community who has a rap sheet, and then you hear there's a problem, and then all of a sudden you make a strategic strike, and then just bring in everybody, and some go before the line, and then those that that prove that you know that they're able to be innocent until proven guilty. Are released again, and then those that are guilty are going to the system. I thought about that, and then as we were building on this message about all these parables, I came to this dragnet, and I go, wow, I wonder what God's view is. So here it is. The dragnet, similarly, is the act of separation. It's inclusive for all, then it's inclusive, it becomes exclusive to those that are really His, that want to be His. It's a separation of the good and bad, but it includes everybody. Like I tell people, listen, don't just think because it's Sunday morning that, you know, demons don't, they never miss a service. So just understand that. Okay? And it's okay. And in the church, the Bible says, in the house of God, Paul spoke about this, are vessels, some for honor, some for dishonor. I go, that doesn't make much sense. And the Lord says, listen, this isn't that deep, Mike. You've been in this long enough to understand that. I go, oh, you're right. The dragnet, look at verse 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like something. It's like a net that when it's thrown into the sea, it gathers fish of every kind. And when it's full, men draw to shore, okay? Draw to shore and sat down. And sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. You know, it's okay. I mean, I just love, you know, how God works. Everybody's given an equal time to receive and accept the word of the Lord. Dragnet. All have a chance to start. All have a chance to be redeemed. But all make that choice if they really want to be His. Or be part of the problem in the church or outside the church. Part of the remedy, part of the problem. A sheep or a goat. An angel of light that disguises as an angel of light. It's really a demon. Fish, rather something that's a tin can. I remember when we were kids, our idea of getting away was getting on our bikes and driving on our bikes probably about 25, 30 minutes outside of the city of Trenton, and we couldn't afford a freshwater license to fish. So if you could find anything that had tide water, you didn't need a license for. So we go all to this place called Grops Lake. Now, we weren't allowed to fish in Grops Lake because we didn't have a fishing license. But over the falls, there was tide water that went into the Assapink, that went into the Delaware River. And south of Delaware, south of Trenton, all the way to Philly, there was tide water, so you could fish for free. But the only problem was there was all kind of garbage there. I mean, we used to laugh. You know, you'd ever be fish that glowed in the dark, five eyes on one side, you know. You'd bring in stuff, you got all excited, you see these big ugly catfish, and then these other things that looked like they were alive, you know, what were they? And you see license plates, and you'd get in your stuff and be exciting, and you'd pick through the stuff, you know, and yeah, and yet, God in his love gives us the nets to drag people in. All in. And it's not us who determines whether all humanity has a chance. It's him. Yeah. There's that word again. We can't get away from it. Look, Matthew 13, 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. It's like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. Now, you know, there's certain fish that are poisonous. There's certain fish that you want to get in, maybe like a piranha. You don't even want to touch it, and I don't eat it. Certain fish that, in the Jewish culture of the day, would be an unclean fish. They weren't allowed to eat it. It was a fish without scales. It was a bottom fish. So understand, there was even more pressure then. And they'd have to go through that fish. Maybe they'd have to take out rocks, but they'd have to take out anything that violated the Levitical law. And so for them, they'd be taking out fish that were ills and that were fish without scales. And so they, you know, they were all in the net. Verse 48 says that when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. And so it'll be at the end of the age, the close of the age. And this is where we have to be careful. Even at a vulnerable time of expansion, a time when the enemy is getting more hostile to the church, from friendly fire, people that should know better, and what our investment should be. Because only God sends angels to come out and separate the evil from the righteous. Pastor, why didn't you kick out that person? You realize behind your back, they are violating all kinds of scriptures. They are alienating people's affections. They are lifting themselves up and tearing down people. What is going on? There's immorality. There this and that. And I understand. But in regards to the rank and file and to the house of God, you got to understand, I'm a shepherd. And I love people. And in the natural, there's a two-edged sword to that. But in the spiritual, it's all about letting God be God and me pulling in the nets and you pulling in the nets with me. And letting God do the rest. But let it be known and not be misunderstood this morning that the nets are being pulled in, but the age is closing. Some of us right now in this building said, my God, at this stage of my life, you could preach this message because it's your life. Because it was my life 30 years ago. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. Now I want to tell you something. This message wasn't made yesterday. This message was made over two weeks ago. And throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. And men who made the net God's word were holy men written in prison under the crucible of persecution in isolation and suffering. They didn't care about the song. They didn't care about anything. They knew they were disconnected from the rest of the church. But yet, they poured themselves into everyone and everything, putting out the net in every Roman prison, putting out the net and raising up another generation of people that were willing to love not their life unto death also. In 2 Peter 1:21, it reaffirms this for prophecy. The word of God came not in old any time, but by the will of, not by the will of men, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at it. There's a few dynamics about this dragnet I want us to look at. Number one, the dragnet has to be active. The dragnet eventually has to be put out and then pulled in. Everybody got that picture? Okay, the dragnet is active. Like the Word of God is active. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 said, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of spirit and soul and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. And at the end of the age, everything that's said and done is going to determine whether someone's a pastor or a hireling, a Christian worker or a hireling, somebody who's caught up in their own gifts or steward the gifts of God with the fear of the Lord and the fruit of the Spirit. Whether it's about God or about them. Whether they've passed the test of being faithful in that which is little and being willing to be misunderstood as they share the love of Christ more than anything, so that God could do the work that he calls you and I to do. The dragnet has to be active. It can't be forgotten. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea. Thrown into the sea. So it could be pulled back in. You know, your life is a love offering. To be thrown into this world. And sometimes you say, yeah, I feel the pain. Well, good. It's okay. But God is going to pull you in. And he wants to pull you in with your loved ones, with your parents, with your children, your grandchildren, those you work with. And you'll say, oh, I can't bring that person. They're crazy. I can't bring that person. They're vile. Hey, excuse me. You bring them and let God take care of it. Listen, when you catch the fish, you got to clean it before you eat it. But this time, let God clean the fish, okay? The dragnet has to be active. Men are called and women are called to cast the net of God's word to the lost. A net hanging on dry land accomplishes nothing. That's why Paul said in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet, the active feet of them that preach the gospel. Number two, or B, under three. Three is the dragnet. A is the dragnet must be active. The dragnet is not exclusive. Now, this is important. Sometimes it can seem like a paradox. Look at verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It's thrown into humanity, thrown to the sea. Now, listen. And gathered fish of every kind. One of the biggest challenges of true leadership after you've had the privilege to do this generationally is to understand what Paul said. That in the house of God, there are vessels of honor and dishonor. That is the most bizarre paradox. And the responsibility is always hard and misunderstood if you have any level, not of usurped authority, but given authority to help mold people. That's what God has called us to do with the Word of God. That's why he has offices. And to understand that it's the Word of God is for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. And putting the net out and active has to be to catch everybody, because everybody needs the Lord, amen? And then it's a place where gathering fish of all kind, people of all kind, it's okay. Some of you say, oh, Pastor, you know, didn't you see what happened in the service? Didn't you see that? I go, of course I did. It's okay. I know something. As the net's cast out, God's word never returns void, amen? And somewhere along the line, for a person, it's going to connect. It's going to connect. So believe me, I don't worry about crying babies. I don't worry if somebody comes, stands up, and manifests demonic activity. It's okay. Everything's taken care of, okay? Some of the things you see, some of the things you don't see. It's okay. Because I desire, God desires none to perish. And we have a reputation already, maybe not having prep and pretty and pretty services. We care about everybody, all the whosoevers, because the dragnet is not exclusive. The dragnet brings in people who are religious, God help us, and are not righteous, and sinners that can become righteous. Aren't you glad? They're gathered by the net of God's word and the love that's in your heart to recognize that it's all about the gospel It's all about the good news. Everything sets the stage for the Word of God to go and to touch the hearts of people and bring people to a revelation that God so loved them. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gives all men the opportunity to hear the Word. God gives all men the opportunity to fall into the net. Amen. Some people say, well, I was forced to go to church by my wife or by my parent. I go, no, no, no. No, you just got caught up in the right net. Why? Ephesians 2:16, that He might reconcile us. Us, the us on this point isn't us godly people. It's us who are once sinners. That He might reconcile us. You don't need to reconcile people that are already reconciled. He reconciled those of us that were outside of the household of faith, that He might reconcile us, both to God in one body through the cross. I get out of my office this morning and you know, driving by the other building, we have over 30 crosses. All the windows are engineered. If you notice, the cross is really neat. It's one of the hallmarks of building God's way. And sometimes my television, my monitor works in my office. Sometimes it doesn't, and I don't fall apart when something doesn't go right with equipment. It's okay. I mean, we are at a $40 million complex Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning, and with $1.5 million technology, and they had problems. And I looked at Pastor Kyle and said, "No problem. You don't take your jacks and run. You don't get upset when they're being forced underground." And people in a Chinese church have to clap like this so they're not exposed. They got to worship like this silently in the spirit and in truth. Oh, we're so spoiled, and God wants to. He's going to do it to us. It's not going to feel good because the much is given, much is required. I came out of here this morning and I had to look at that cross as worshipers were worshiping, preparing. God, that's where I got reconciled. That's where humanity gets reconciled. Might reconcile us. All those that tripped into the net, all those that stumbled into the net, all those that seem to have got caught up in the net. He reconciled us both to God, listen, in one body, through the cross. Listen, thereby killing all hostility, division, disunity, and it's all about me. And it's all about world. I want the world. I want this. No. He redeems us. Now see, the dragnet, and this keeps me up at night sometimes. It makes me drive by a place, and sometimes I got to excuse myself to somebody that's in my vehicle with me, and the burden of the Lord will come upon me. The dragnet will be separated. There'll be a lot of religious excuses for people to take their jacks or take their gifts and their treasure and their attendance and their stuff and go. That's a fulfilled prophecy and process of the last days. That there'll be many new folks coming of revival and some that'll be leaving. Now, the good thing is that, you know, we send people and commission people all the time in the right way to go places. But the dragnet will be separated. Matthew 13:48. You know, this isn't preached too much anymore. And I know it's not popular, but I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to you. And you have nothing to worry about if our hearts are pure. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not perfect. Says something about this in verse 48. When it was full, that's the dragnet, men drew it ashore, sat down, and sorted the good into containers, and threw away the bad. Men may allow the net to save them or destroy them. What they do with the word of opportunity determines their future. Paul had to deal with this. he would go into a, you know, where the age span was really short then in Asia Minor back then. Go in with the gospel. He didn't have the privilege of pastoring long like I did to help disciple and strengthen people. He would stop by Ephesus. He would stop by, hopefully in 3 years, at Ephesus again. He stopped by Galatians. He'd raise up Timothy's. He'd raise up people, and he would go on to the next place, and then he'd write a letter. So I'm coming back to check on you, seeing how you're behaving. And then he'd come back and he'd hear about some of the people in the Galatian church, and he said, "Who are you following anyway? Who has bewitched you?" He used a cultic term. Who has bewitched you? Who has brought to you another gospel than what I preached? See, when it was full, men drew it ashore, sat down, sorted out the good in the containers, but threw away the bad. 2 Corinthians 2:15-16 says, "For we are an aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to another fragrance from life to life, who is sufficient for these things." So it's possible that you could be a fragrance to some people, and yet for a crazy reason, you're a stench to other people. They're tired of what you have to say. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to play anymore. You know, separation is something that is happening in our nation right now. And God says, I don't reveal anything without first speaking to my prophets. And I hate to misuse of that. But in this place, over the several years, we've been able to know basically a bend, a curve ahead of time what is happening. And sometimes it's not until it happens in the world, the world gets a handle of it first before the church. And that's why Jesus said that the children of this age are wiser than some of the children of my own people. Jesus says, listen, you look into the western sky, you look at the sun, you're able to discern the weather for tomorrow, but you don't have a clue what's happening spiritually. We are made to have a clue. Amen? Now, when I count to three, I want everybody to say, "I have a clue." Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. You have a clue. You're not going to be caught unaware. You're going to be caught unaware. You haven't for the last 15 years. Some of you for the last 3 months. See, the dragnet will separate, and we're entering into a time of separation right now. And some people are using religious ways and terms to try to separate culture, separate ages, separate by methodology. And it seems so good. But the problem is, everything has to run through the parameters of Scripture, or else I don't care how good it sounds, the greatest book on the evolving church or the this or that. You know, we got to learn to eat the meat and spit out the bones, because there's separation coming. Matter of fact, if we don't get a handle on this, the Scripture says, eventually at the end of the age, men will rise up against men, children against parents. Your enemies will be within your own households. My God. The church needs to fall in love with Jesus first, not their gifts. Number two, fall in love with the Word of God, and He's the Word that became flesh, and learn how to walk in order, in rank, as the army of God, with love as our weapon. Amen? Let's look at the separation. I mentioned the cross. Remember the two crosses next to Jesus? Remember those guys? Both are next to Jesus. They're all going to have the same sentence. And one says, "He's, you know, all vile and ugly." And the other one says, "Hey, man, you know, what are you doing? We deserve this." But that guy in the middle, he doesn't deserve this. And then the one said, "Jesus, will you remember me?" And Jesus says, "Before this man ever got baptized, ever joined a church, ever fulfilled one ordinance of the church," Jesus said, "today you'll be with me in paradise. I don't know about you. I had to leave the conference early yesterday, Pastor Carol and I, because one of our Section 5 ministers in her 70s, precious couple, planted a gospel, preaching, planting churches for over 50 years, godly people from Sweden, and his precious wife died. And my wife and I had the opportunity, the last time they ever went out to dinners, we didn't think because they were in their 70s, they weren't cool. They laid out a foundation for us. Be careful what you do. Your children might do it to you one day when you're vulnerable. But we took this old couple out to dinner. And the woman started having dementia, so my wife would have to take her to the ladies' room. And we sat down and eat and had such a wonderful time. That was the last time they would go out to dinner. She would shortly go into a nursing home. And then she would die this past week. And that 77-year-old pastor says, "Presbyter, would you please come?" And I've said in my mind, I have to teach at the conference Saturday morning. I'm a man under authority. I called. I said, "Listen, I'll teach all you want Friday." I said, "But I got to leave Saturday because I got a funeral." "No problem." And to hear the testimony of what it was like to live righteously after World War II and how they met at a little Assembly of God camp, and he was 18 years old in a sweet shop. They call it a sweet shop, a summer camp, a little sweet shop. And how she was 16 years old, and God said, "That's going to be your wife." She wanted to be a missionary to China, and he wanted to be a missionary to China. But by then, Mao Zedong stopped all of that, and before they could get there, all the missionaries were sent out, and they end up being missionaries in a different context and pastoring. Dragnet separates. And the separation is not always easy, folks. Some of you already are paying a price for walking through the parameters of Scripture, being misunderstood maybe by family and friends. Well, you don't have to take that serious. I mean, we're all Christians. You know, some people think being born in America is they're Christian. And you know, America is the number three. It's now the number three most unreached nation in the world with the gospel. What happened? What happened? This is my biggest burden for people who call themselves Christians. The separation will inevitably decide. The kingdom of heaven and the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price not only started or ends this teaching I'm doing with you, but it also started before all these parables of promise. The kingdom of heaven, the hidden treasure, and the pearl of great price. You say, "Well, how do you figure that?" I want to show you now. I want you to go to verse 41, and you can write down number 3. The separation after the dragnet, that's the first separation, then there's going to be a separation of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13, 41, 4 through 43. "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of all his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. Throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The parable speaks of true Christians called wheat or saints. You know that you're a saint. You know that. Everybody's a saint who follows Jesus, accepts him and follows him. So I want you to look at the person next to you if you know their name, and I want you to say, "Hello, saint." See, it comes down, it's really easy in this separation. You're either a saint or you're an ain't. But this parable speaks of true Christians are the wheat, the saints, or the ain'ts, the fake Christians, or the workers of iniquity that took the few gifts from God and ran with them. And those who reject him and follow their own ways, no matter how religious they are, act, or how gifted they are, will be eternally doomed. For God knows the heart of men and will judge accordingly. Either we're a saint or we're an ain't. Matthew chapter 7, turn with me, if you would. This backs up now. This brackets, there's bookends of this separation of all these neat promises, the kingdom of heaven, the hidden treasure, the pearl great price, is bookend of, with separation warnings. Bookend. We started the latter first, oddly enough, and now we're ending with the former because it's important, because in the mouth of two or three truths or witnesses, every word needs to be established and heard to. Now, so let's back up all the way to Matthew 7, all the way to verse 22 and 23. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name and do many other works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You never allowed yourself to be tried. You never allowed yourself to have the dirt and the junk and the self pressured, separated out of your gifts. The gifts, the treasures, the talents must bow to the motive of the heart. And so there's a series of separations in life. Every time the word of God is given, every time there's a sound, God-ordained level of offices, molding and commissioning and ordaining and having levels of accountability, it's because we need it. So let's look at the separation of the wheat and the tares. Very similar than the other separation of the fish. There's the sowing of the tares. There's the separating of the tares. There's the symbol and the tares. And then there's the final separation. Look at the sowing of the tares. The parable, Matthew 13. This comes earlier in our chapter. Verse 24, 25. He gave them another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared with a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came somehow. I promise you now, and there's a lot of ways right now more than ever, for the enemy to come using a lot of different ways to infiltrate and rob the seed or contaminate the seed. While men were sleeping, maybe tired, away from that post, vulnerable, away from the troops, his enemy came in and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away like a little coward. A man sowed good seed during an opportune time. An enemy sowed tares in your life, weeds in our life, doubts, divisiveness, bad words, thoughts, or things. So that's the parable. Now the problem's found in verse 26 and 27. So when the plant comes up and bears grain, and when the weeds also appeared, and the servants of the master of the house came and said, Master, did you not sow good seed into your field? How does this have weeds? What about all the tears, all the work, all the labor of love, all the small beginnings? What happened to the church? What happened to the family? Listen, to he who has an ear, listen, and be careful what you hear outside of order. Like Paul said, who, after I came, I have to come again? Who has come afterwards or in another way and gave you another gospel? Some of you precious folks that have recommitted your life to Christ at this stage of your life, don't allow anybody to take away your joy or your innocence. Enjoy. Because there's only one thing that guarantees you strength in the future. It's not somebody's message or somebody's song, or it's not methodology. It's the joy of the Lord strengthens you. The bad seed or tares grow with the good seed. Biblical principles and not someone's desires or passions must take order. Biblical principles and not someone's desires or passions must take order. That's the sowing of the seeds. Now let's look at the separating of the tares. The sowing and the showing and the separation as regards to the tares. The sowing of the tares, verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. They're saying, what happened? How didn't you plant good seed? Remember the verse before, 26 and 27? Yeah. Well, what happened? At the funeral yesterday, the wife wrote to her future husband and says, I went back to my youth group. It was like 1953 or something. And, oh, they were so worldly. What happened? It was worldly then, right? And he said, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, what do you want us to do? Want us to take care of this, Pastor? Who wants to take care of this stuff? Well, what has happened that the enemy sowed tares amongst the good seed? And there's a showing now. Verse 29. He said, no, lest in the gathering of the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. I have it all the time. Pastor, are you blind? Don't you know what that person's doing or saying behind? I go, listen, I know. My problem is, it's a good problem. I pray and the Holy Spirit tells me stuff, and it's like he tells you stuff. We've got to be careful. Because love is greater than our gifts or our authority. I shared yesterday, I had to teach on, Friday, on militant hope. And I shared, it's not about my calling. It's not about gifts. It's about love. And if I do anything, it has to default through love and God's word. The tares will reap in their own consequences, going through cycles of a ruined reputation, job to job to job, church to church to church, disappointment after disappointment, lost opportunities. Because Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he's going to have to reap. Now, aren't you glad that if we repent, God's always there to give us grace and mercy? I am so glad. Outside of his grace, I can't stand. How about you? But what shall we say then, Romans 6:1? Shall we continue in these childish ways and reap consequence? Shall we continue in God's grace? Shall we misuse? Paul answers his own question. God forbid, how can we who have died to sin live any longer therein? So that's the sowing of the tares. The showing of the tares, in due time they show their colors. If we're not careful, we'll manifest the works of the flesh instead of the fruit of the Spirit. Improper motive. And then there's the separation. Matthew 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. I think it's no surprise that we're having harvest, Feast of Tabernacles number 10 in 2 weeks. Something that's going to change your life. Try to catch as much as you can. Don't write it off because, it's 4 days coming to church. Well, it's 4 days you come in and out. Feast with this and times of worship, times of prayer, times of rich word. Set us and prepare us so that we could be, this building could be strengthened and purified before we get into the other building, whenever that comes. I hope it's December, maybe later, I don't know. Let them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers. This is Jesus saying, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. I don't know about you, I want to be in God's barn. You know, I tripped into the deception one time, and I said, never again. I made 17 for 5 years. I went to one Protestant chapel in the Army, and I never went into a church. And if I would have died, I didn't care what my legacy was, I would have went to hell. And it wasn't God's fault. So I come to you, not as a novice. I come to you, and the only authority I have is because I'm a man under authority. I've seen too much. I've seen the most sincere, with great sincere religious desires, fall into moral wreck and set themselves up for the judgment of God. Let's guard our hearts in these days. At the final harvest, the wheat will be gathered and the tares will be burned. The word of God speaks also of the separating the sheep from the goats. In Matthew 25:32, the wicked from the just, in Matthew 13:49. Because in Hebrews 9:27, it says, we all must die one day. And then comes the judgment. I have to close there. without finishing. When I got to share at the funeral yesterday, I want you to stand.